became an adult, you know, after the age of 21, that's when I can go to the bar. I started going to the bar drinking. At that time, they wouldn't call me a drunk or an alcoholic. This is somebody socializing. But as time went on, I started to drink more. Before I knew it, I was, you know, I just drink on weekends, Saturday, Sunday. Start maybe Friday night. Then all of a sudden it's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Then pretty soon it's whenever I could drink. And this I kept working. But it was quick, it was becoming a problem for me. So people could now say Jerry's an alcoholic because he's drinking every chance he has. So that action made me that identity of being an alcoholic. So different actions that we do, like if I became violent and was beating people up, you'd say, oh, he's a violent man. He beats his children, beats his wife, or whatever, then I get that identity. Or a thief, if I'm stealing all the time. And if I keep stealing and going to jail and I keep doing it, my identity now is a thief. So actions create identity too. Sometimes we, you know, we're greedy. And we don't care about other people. Just care about ourselves. In an indigenous way, then you start to isolate yourself from the people. You step out of the circle. Because it's all about you now. You know, and that is a Canadian society way of life, generally speaking. I say generally speaking because there's a lot of people out there that don't buy into it. The newcomers that come here. But it amazes me, the ones that bought into it, how they get away with it and they can still do it over and over and over again. And that's why our environment is being threatened. Because people think about the profit loss, not about the future. The here and now profit loss. So that action, what kind of identity comes with that action? Of just take, 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 take. You don't put back in, you just take, take, take. The only thing that comes up for me is greedy. My kids would use the word greedy at times and somebody would eat all the apricots or the ice cream. Dad, he's a greedy guts. <You know? laughs> And that's what some people are. I don't know how many, but a significant number, but I don't think it's a lot. Many are just struggling to survive, just struggling to make ends meet. You know, so actions create identity. So that's what I wanted to talk about, that part, you know, is just about the problems around identity today. I feel that exist. How many feel proud to be Indigenous? You know, how many think Indigenous about respect generosity, love, knowledge, you know, those laws that we used to live by. How many even know they exist? How many have had a chance to sit in ceremony, to listen to indigenous teachers in cultural teachings? How many of them have felt the magic of ceremony and the music in ceremony? How many have felt that? It's my belief today that not that many. That's how effective that assimilation policy was. So the podcast series called Indigenous Is, it's about me talking about Indigenous ways. And I'm going to interview various people about what they're doing to revive and maintain Indigenous ways. You know, I'm very excited about this because I've been talking to people and I got people lined up, you know, about talking about being Indigenous. And part of the goal for me is that we start to think, okay, I'm going to be Indigenous 24/7. You know, to my satisfaction. Because if you don't say that, people will say, hey, you're going to live in a teepee again? Or are you going to, you know, you're going to make your own clothes out of moose hide and stuff? Which is a silly thing to say and a mean thing to say. I say, no. The beautiful part about being Indigenous is the way we used to think. We had a wonderful attitude, because attitude means you're acting the way you think. And of course, you know, when I think of my elders, they thought about the beauty way of life, about positivity, about helping one another, about being there for each other, about respecting the salmon, the deer, the moose, the plants. I picked mushrooms with my auntie, and we'd only do it in a certain way. She says, we need to come back next year. If we just take it all, there won't be any here next year. I was instructed to go get fish for elders. You do that. Don't expect anything back. You just do it. They're elders. You know, that's Indigenous. You know, of course, when we're young, we sort of rebel against that. But I grew up in a time where you listen to parents. You don't dare, you know, it's not they're going to beat me senseless or anything. Just something magic would happen, and I know I have to listen to them. So I'm out there getting fish for the elders. The reward was seeing the gratitude, hearing the laughter of the grannies that didn't have anyone to bring them fish. Oh, and they start laughing and they're happy. It warms up the heart when you hear that and see that. To feel that gratitude, real gratitude. So I continue to do that. So Indigenous Is, I want to continue to put teachings in the air about being Indigenous from my perspective and my experience, and also to have guests on the podcast to share what they've been doing. I'd like to talk to artists, people doing Indigenous art, carving, painting, jewelry. You know, the ones that know about the medicines, the food, the ones that know how to prepare the skins and the furs, the people that, you know, understand traditional parenting. You know, I have a whole list of areas I want to cover, and I don't know if I'll be able to find people that want to share this, but I'll look for them, and I already have people lined up. You know, I'm interested in having people share about how they're transformed by going back to a time-tested culture. There are people lived like this for thousands of years, and it was good for them. You know, we do have the resilient people out there, the ones that never gave up, refused to live their way, their culture. Just kept on, kept the language alive, the music, the ceremony, the knowledge about the foods, about family structures, governance. How do we conduct ourselves as groups? That's what governance is. So there are brilliant leaders in ceremony and the potlatch ceremony and other ceremonies are excellent facilitators, these ceremonial people. They introduce what we're doing, they do the work, and then they have a conclusion, you know, and they do it well. So if I have a chance, I'd like to talk to some of them. So that's what this season is about. Indigenous is. So I look forward to coming on the air, doing teachings on the air. You know, because some of those guests are going to talk about their healing experiences, how they became original again, or how they worked to being original before they were damaged. And where I'll talk to individuals that work with our people to bring them healing and understanding and to teach them skills of how to live with one another. I'm looking forward to the season Indigenous is. Of course, I'll all have different names that will be part of Indigenous is. One of the podcasts will be Returning to the Circle. You know, and it's about going home to our way of life, using the teachings, using the ceremonies, using the rituals to help us heal and to move in a good way in life. So that's what Indigenous is about. So I look forward to being on the air again with special guests and with myself. I'd like to thank my crew again for doing what they do so we can get these on the air. So at this time, I'd just like to acknowledge all of the knowledge keepers, the healers. You know, those are our critical people, the ones that know. They listened and they carry the teachings that existed for thousands of years of how for us to live as a culture. For the healers that give tirelessly of their time to help people that are suffering. You know, the healers and the knowledge keepers are the ones that are going to help us. And I'm really thankful for them because that means the children are going to have a doorway to our culture. Because they pass it on and then I'll go look for them and they'll, if they're allowed, they'll share, you know, what helped them in healing, you know, whether it's a physical ailment or mental health issue or spiritual health issue. You know, we'll talk about those so people know that there is a way that we can heal. So that's always been my motivation for teachings in the air, was to help people regain their power, Because I know people took our power. We felt like we don't have power. They literally fooled us into saying they took our power. They cannot take our power. But they can fool us, they can misdirect us, they can trick us. That we don't know how to build houses. We don't know how to do things. That's not true. We've done it all. Before contact, we've done it all. Shelter, education, food, medicine, music, the arts, you know, we've done it all. And we've done it in a good way. We all come from beautiful people that not only survived here, but thrived and were vibrant, healthy people. So let's go home. Let's go back to that. Let's find that place to be generous with our words, with our time, with our fish, with our moose meat, with helping elders cut wood, you know, doing all of those things. Let's help our children become successful to reach their potential, that they don't fall into a trap of addiction or violence or any of those. That's a good reason to be indigenous. The children, the future, they're depending on us. This time of pandemic, you know, and I think about, I was telling a group today on Zoom, you know, that the reason why I'm here, because my great-grandfather and his dad, they survived the smallpox epidemic that hit my country in 1854. I asked an elder, how did we survive that? Because I heard that it killed 85% of our people. It was very contagious. And it shows on the skin it was an ugly, ugly virus. And this elder that told me, all my teachings on the air told me, he says, oh, Jerry, there's ones that could see what the smallpox was and what it was doing and how it spread. So they were telling the people, we have to leave our highways. At that time, our highways were the lakes and the rivers. And the trappers and the gold miners were coming up the rivers and on the lakes, coming looking for gold and furs, and they were carrying the smallpox. Sometimes in blankets, and they'd give it to people to try and kill us. That's terrorism. That's total war. So he says people that listened to the ones that could see moved away from the highways and went to the different camps, hunting camps, and other places, and left our permanent dwellings because we lived by the highways. You know, there's social distancing and all of that. They knew that then. They wouldn't get near the people that stayed in the winter dwellings and the permanent dwellings. They go back and check on them. This elder says they went back in the winter time and they couldn't see smoke coming out of the Sheishkin, the winter dwelling. So they knew they must be gone to the spirit world. So one went to take a look and he looked at everyone and sure enough they were all gone to the spirit world. So they burnt down the winter dwellings. And I thought about that, you know, during this pandemic, and I said, that's why I'm here. Because they listened. So we too must listen. This is being indigenous. The most important part of communication is how we listen. So if we listen, we're going to be okay. Doesn't mean we have to totally agree with everybody, you know, but we listen to the voice of reason and we recognize it and we acknowledge it. So we had the voices of reason in the past and we have it today. So the whole intent of Indigenous is is for us to find a way to our cultural homes, our way of life home, that took care of us for thousands upon thousands of years. And to do this, we spread the message. We spread the teachings. We lay teachings at the feet of our people, our relatives and friends, or we talk and role model it so they see it in the air. You know that that way of life was very valid and beautiful, that indigenous way of life. You know, and, when I think about how healthy we were, how sound we were in mind, body, and spirit, that was a good life. Because now, you know I have relatives that worry about diabetes, about heart disease, about cancer, and all of those things. And we go back to the time-tested ways of living. We can make positive changes in our lives. Positive changes. You know, stress, they say stress, if you're under stress all the time, it's like it weakens your immune system. And you'll catch up cold, you'll catch colds and flus. And, you know, it'll be easier for that cold or that flu or that COVID to come alive in you. So by making the right choices and through positive action and positive living, you know, we will be emulating indigenous is way of living. The intent of the podcasts are to provide guidance. You know, that is time-tested, like I was saying, provide guidance to revive a way of life that worked, where we can become one with our clans, our families, and Mother Earth, and thus live life to the fullest, to have a life full of purpose, of good intentions, and a feeling of completion, that I've done what I, when I, you know, that we can say I've done what I was meant to do. I found my purpose, and I'm going to live it. So thank you for listening to Teachings in the Air. And like I say before, if you hear something that resonates for you or tickles you or makes you feel good, share it with others. You know, we're in a time of COVID now, pandemic, and we all struggle through it. And indigenous is way of life. We learned about patience, about sacrifice. You know, and I remember an elder talking about patience. He says, when you know how to go down a river and wait for the salmon, and you have that patience, you are going to be rewarded with food. And sacrifice, you know, we've had people throughout our lives sacrifice themselves for us as we have sacrificed for others. That means we'll give up something for the good of our family, our friends, or our people. That's being indigenous. So I'm looking forward to this season called Indigenous Is, and I'm excited about it. And part of it is because I'm going to get to listen to those that carry the gifts of our ancestors and live them. You know, and also to ones that are learning, you know, because life is a process. It's step by step. And, of course, our job is to mature, you know, to ripen in a good way, and to be here for the people and Mother Earth. That's the indigenous way. So I'm going to sign off now, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you again.
I leave or should I stay? You know, it's just always there.
If you're a Canadian Indigenous student considering many life choices about your future, Inspire can help. If you need ideas about possible education or career path options specifically for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit folks like you, join Inspire's mentorship program, Rivers to Success. It's free to register, and you'll get plenty of up-to-the-minute information about university, college, and vocational trade schools. Most importantly, again, it's free. It's free. It's online, and we have monthly events with prizes. Discover the many potential job and study opportunities that are waiting for you across Turtle Island. Register online now at riverstosuccess.ca. Again, that's riverstosuccess.ca.